everybody, and welcome back to this, the final episode of 2021 of Southern Onion Podcast. We are your holiday twins. I'm Erica. Yes.
And I'm Erin, and I haven't gotten in the eggnog yet.
You have not gotten into the eggnog, okay.
No, good but for we you. Will do it right after this episode, yeah.
Hey, party! I have a shirt that
eggnog
says,
season.
I have a shirt that says eggnog made me do it, so.
There you go, yeah.
Because
love eggnog.
Yeah. Oh yes. Mayfield for me here in the South is the best.
Oh, made the mistake of drinking boiled custard one time, thinking it was eggnog. Big mistake.
It is not.
It is not eggnog. Don't do it.
That's right. Do not. So if we teach you anything, eggnog, boiled custard, two different things. They may look
absolutely
similar, two very, very different things.
Exactly. Yes.
The more you know.
Yes. The rainbow, the star.
Yeah,
the shooting star. Yep. There you go.
Well, welcome everybody to this episode. We're so happy you're here with us today. Thank you again for tuning in, for listening, all the support. We greatly appreciate it. You have made this a very fun, unexpected 2021 for us and our little adventure and our little corner of the true crime podcast world. So thank you again so much. We could not have done it without you and your support. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
New Year's resolution, more new episodes. So I think we can do that. A resolution I can actually keep up with. So
me too.
Yay. And if you haven't already, please go out to our Instagram page at Southern Onion Podcast and give us a follow, and we usually follow back.
Yes, we
do. Just something like really horrendous on your page, we will not. But also DMs are open. So if you have any questions, comments, any show ideas, please feel free to reach out to us. We love to hear from you. Also, with this episode, we are going to take a couple of weeks off. So, because we're, traveling and holidays and we just need a little rest. But we will be back 1st of January with brand new episodes. So, don't worry. It's just going to be a teeny tiny hiatus. Not much one of all at all. So, okay. Wonderful. Erin, how you been? What's been up?
Been okay. Been good.
What's up? You got your house decorated.
I did. Yes. Yeah. It took me 3 days. And then I realized why I've gone overboard with it. Mm-hmm. I showed you the video of my new tree topper. Mm-hmm. It's a star, but the Santa rotates around it in a hot air balloon and it says, ho, ho, ho. I love it.
So it has your name on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we'll take a quick break.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but hey, it starts now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So it's really cute, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've seen the video of it. Yeah.
You are always the decorator.
I
see vision. I'm just kind of like, if it matches, great. Like,
right.
I don't have that decorating gene that you do.
Yeah. I mean, I got it from our mom, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Well, yeah,
I mean,
she decorates well. Yeah,
Erica doesn't decorate.
I played outside. I don't know.
Erica doesn't do dresses, dances, or decorating.
That's those right, yeah. Days. That's my 3 Ds. Dresses, dances, or decorating. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a little insight to Erica. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no, I got it all decorated, and I've been enjoying it, so...
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's just all got to come down at the first of the year, and that's going to be bad.
Well, and that's what deters me, I think, from decorating, especially for holidays. Yes. It's beautiful when it's put up, but then you still have to put it up and store it for the rest of the year. And that's just like, give me a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
You're good.
Little, decorations or something.
Branch.
a little branch. I'll put a little, tinsel on my electric fireplace because
there
I can't
you
trust the cats to not jump in a real fireplace and
right
so yeah that's about it because they tear down that'd everything
be
so
oh,
because
yeah,
they're kitties and kitties are gonna kitty so
yeah Maggie touches nothing. I'm proud of her.
She's good. I've talked to her.
She touches nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We even have a Santa that goes up and down a ladder. And she watches him, but she doesn't tear him up or anything.
Well,
so
if he were to put his foot on that floor,
yeah,
that would be the end of
it. It's game on.
She's like, if you stay on that ladder, we're cool.
Yeah. Yep. You know her too well.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. So, well, we're rolling into the holidays and, you know,
yes.
So just work. It kind of really slows down now at this point of the mm-hmm. year. I call it off season for physical therapy because people are busy shopping and they're not having their surgeries and things like right. that. So work stays a little slow till for a few weeks. So, which is, you know.
That's okay.
Where I'm at, the clinic I'm covering, they have TVs and they have the Hallmark Christmas channel on, or the Hallmark channel, which is playing all the Christmas movies. So I've seen a ton of movies while I am diligently working, in case my employer's listening. So,
yeah, that's right. That's good.
Never stop working. I look up randomly.
Look at you.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So a little story I want to share about the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that checks emails. I'm the account owner of them. So
yes.
I noticed one day, you know how you get just random junk emails like,
sure.
oh, try this product, that product, whatever. Well, I noticed right. there was one for Match.com.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just saying, here, try Match.com. Like, it's just some junk.
Sure, advertisement. Try, yeah.
Whatever. No, somebody... I don't know who, but I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
Used our email, our Gmail, ooh. For the podcast.
Oh, okay.
As their email for their Match.com profile.
Oh, wow.
So whoever did it,
okay.
that's hilarious. Yeah. Well done, because, wow, if that's what you felt you needed to do, okay,
right.
I would encourage
wow.
a different hobby. Maybe something a little more productive.
Right.
So I got to email and talk with Match.com, which
oh,
was
okay.
really cool. So they have explained, you know, that we're a true crime podcast and we are absolutely not looking for dates.
A match.
Right. We're not looking for a match. We're a true crime podcast. The last thing we would do is get on online dating. I was like,
So
the account rep I talked to, she was very nice and was like, okay, we'll take care of it. So it wasn't a big deal, but I just thought it was funny. So whoever RSD, R Robert S. Sam D. David, made the account. Well done. It was hilarious. So good job.
Yeah.
But I know things like that don't bother me. I just found it funny. And I was like, oh, and I should say there were like 60 something messages and 40 something likes. So whatever profile you made, there's people out there interested. If you want to make a real profile,
make a real profile. Yeah.
Yeah. You might have a match. So
you might have a match. Yeah. There you go.
So that was hilarious. I had to share that before the end of the year. That was a few weeks ago,
goodness.
But it was so funny. I just laughed and laughed about it. So, well done.
Oh, wow.
We got a good chuckle out of it. So
we did. Yes, that was funny.
All right. So again, taking the rest of the year off. So it's December 13th when we're releasing this episode.
Yes.
So hope everybody has a safe, happy, healthy holiday. For those of you who are not into the holiday spirit, just know you are not alone. Reach out. There's more people than you realize who do not care for this time of year either, with all the holidays and disruption and routine and everything else. So,
yeah, exactly. So
happy holidays. Happy New Year. Your friends at Southern Onion.
Yes.
All right. So... this little onion we decided to end with for the year is the case of Michelle Carter.
Yes.
Now, Michelle Carter at the time was 17 years old. She, from her side of things, and we'll get into that, she was in a relationship with an 18-year-old Conrad Roy. I love that name. First of all, I
do.
Why.
I like
I think
the
it's
name
a great
Conrad.
Name.
Yeah, I do too. So, I like that name. Yeah.
So I had to say that. So Michelle is convicted of. I'll just go ahead and give the sentence if that's okay. What she was convicted of, and then we'll go through. So she is sentenced to 2.5 years in prison in August of 2017 for involuntary manslaughter for the suicide of Conrad Roy. Now, this happened on July 13th of 2014. So it took a little over 3 years for everything to come out, for the trial and for her conviction. So my first question was, wait a minute, she wasn't anywhere around, and he committed suicide.
Right.
How is she responsible for another person's self-inflicted actions? So
sure,
that was my first question, because I do remember seeing this in the news, because this was kind of a first. This was a first of its kind, because laws are not written for today's technology.
Correct.
These laws have been on the book for how many decades? I mean, there needs to be an overhaul, obviously, of laws and things to include, but technology is increasing at such a fast pace. How do you keep up with that? But efforts need to be made, definitely. But yeah, so that was my first thing, was like, wait a second. So we're talking about technology, mental health, and can a teenager at this at the time it happened, can a teenager be held accountable for another teen's suicide?
Right.
And I'll mention this. We will put a content warning on the description of this episode, because it does talk about suicide. But so that was my first thought. Was like, what? How is this possible?
Sure.
So, all right, Aaron.
Can words kill? You know, can words kill?
Oh, that's the thing. There are power. There are power in words, spoken and written. And people, myself included, need to be very careful about what you say and when you say it to people, because this can lead to a situation like this. And and we'll go over. I mean, this is, it's not like this all happened in one night in one text.
Oh no!
But
no.
But you know, I mean, you've got to be careful with, especially if you know someone is in a depression, someone's going through a hard time.
Right, they're struggling.
Reverse psychology, if you want, does not work, and don't call it that after the fact either.
Right, exactly.
That's what I was doing. Were we? And we'll get into that.
Right. Yeah.
As we go. So that's a little first layer off
overview.
Of that.
Right. Right. An overview. This one is deep. I mean, we have so much to say on this. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you had mentioned Conrad Roy.
Yes.
A little background on him. He was very athletic, and he was good at academics. He was even and he was so good at academics, he actually got a free ride to a state college.
Yes, to Fitchburg State University.
Yeah. So, very bright young man, but he was trying to decide if he wanted to go to college or if he wanted to join the family's tugboat business.
Yes.
Which I didn't know what a tugboat was.
Aaron.
I'm sorry. I've heard of a tugboat, but I didn't know, like, what they did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay, because where we grew up was not really around water. So, not large bodies of water. Yeah.
We grew up in a town that used to be called Lake City, and people thought we lived on a lake.
Right. And there was no lake.
No, there was no lake. So, just a side note there. So, anyway, I learned something new about tugboats. So.
Good for you.
There you go. So, Conrad did have some mental health issues, and you have brought that up, that he had some depression, and he even made, like, viral diaries where he would talk about his feelings and emotions and what he was going through.
Right.
That he just felt like there was a monster in him, you know.
Right, and I mean, kudos to him, because a lot of times mental health, especially when you're struggling with depression, the hardest thing to do is express that and to talk about it, because there's shame, there's guilt, there's, you know, all these negative feelings associated with depression. But good for him, because hopefully during that time, someone else didn't feel as alone, knowing an All-American baseball player, academic, bright young guy has these demons, if you will, that he wrestles with also, because we don't see that side. Just because someone looks very polished and successful on the outside, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. What are they dealing with in their mind, or at home?
The fact that he was able to share it, you know,
that's huge.
That was So he had attempted suicide several times, and he had actually had a psychiatric hospital stay as well. So that's kind of the background on him a little bit. As we go forward, he goes to Florida on spring break. And this is where he meets a girl by the name of Michelle Carter. Now, Michelle Carter is described by people as being athletic as well. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of quiet. And in her high school, I think in the yearbook, it said that she was most likely to brighten your day.
That's okay. And you think with somebody like that, they must have a kind of a positive...
sunny personality,
sunny personality, kind of the everything. It's, you know, don't worry about the rain. The rainbow's going to come out eventually, you know.
Sure.
Kind of this is temporary person,
Right. Michelle also has been battling an eating disorder, and she also battles with depression as well. So, I mean, you look at it, and her and Conrad do have some things in common.
Right. So you think...
I'm not surprised that they talked, you know.
And you would think they they would have a connection of, let's lean on each other on these difficult days or these difficult periods, because you know only a person with depression understands a person with depression.
Correct.
Person with anxiety understands a person with anxiety. If you don't have that, you can't under, you know, I can't understand somebody that's bipolar. I don't have it. But, you know what I mean? So you think, wow, so here's a support system, if you will, a peer going through some similar situations. So,
I see it. Yeah. I see how they got together.
Absolutely.
Now, they text each other a lot. And I mean a lot. Like, they're constantly texting each other. And they only meet in person 2 to 3 times.
But they live, so they met in Florida, but they only lived, like, what, 35 miles apart?
Something like that, in Massachusetts. Like, in Massachusetts.
Yeah, Plainville, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Which is a very hard word for me to say. Sorry to the state of Massachusetts. Sorry.
So, Conrad confides to Michelle in these text messages that he wants to kill himself. And Michelle is telling him, you know, you don't want to do that. You have, you know, you have a lot to live for. You know, she's being very encouraging to him to not commit suicide, to think about it. Conrad, even in one text message, which I found interesting, he even said something like, hey, we should be like Romeo and Juliet.
I caught on that too.
And she was like, hell no. Like, she did not, you know, the story of Romeo and Juliet, they're two young kids, they commit suicide. And that's
because their families want to keep them apart. It's the Montague and the Capulets, and they're like, oh, if I can't be with you, I can't be with anybody, and, you know.
Right. And so they commit suicide. So,
but come to find out, one of them, was it Juliet? She had just taken something to make it look like she had died. Romeo comes over, and he's like, oh my gosh, she is dead. He kills himself. Juliet wakes up, like, what? And that's what makes it so devastating. So that, you know, the end seems like they commit suicide, but in fact, one had not. That's why I was like,
Right. It's kind of this romantic tragedy.
Yeah, romanticizing it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, Michelle's like, I'm not doing that. Hell, she said, actually, she said, hell no. You know, she does not want to do that. So she is not down for it at all. So, you know, like I said, Michelle tries to talk him out of committing suicide. And they have about a 2-year relationship that is building with their text messages back and forth. And Conrad is constantly talking about committing suicide. Michelle's telling him, no, don't do it. And they kind of go back and forth with this. So, you know, Michelle even encourages him to get help at one point because she had had to go to the hospital for her eating disorder. When she came back, she told him, you know, you really need to think about going to some professionals that can help you. And Conrad was like, no. He goes, I will be mad at you if you tell anybody about this.
And that's where I was kind of like, okay, you feel open enough to share a vlog. You feel open enough to talk to Michelle about all this. But then when it comes time for actual treatment or for help putting this into motion to get better, he was resistant. I found that interesting. Because usually when you talk about things, that's letting others know you want help for it.
So on July 12th of 2014, Conrad and his family go to the beach. And he kind of steps away, and he's constantly texting somebody. And his family sees him. He's constantly texting. And he goes and tells his mom, he says, hey, I'm going to go meet up with a friend. Are you going to be home for dinner? Probably not. I'm just going to be gone for a while. So the mom's like, okay. So the next day, Conrad is not home. On July 13th, he is not home. Mm-hmm. So she calls the police. Mm-hmm. The police go searching for Conrad, and they find his truck in a Kmart parking lot.
Yep.
Conrad is inside, and he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do find a portable water pump that's powered by gas that was found inside.
Yeah.
So he had committed suicide.
Right, through carbon monoxide poisoning.
Correct. Yes. So at the home, which I found this so sad, Conrad had left notes for everyone in his family, including Michelle. Mm. So he had left suicide notes.
Right. So which shows intent, planning, you know, mm-hmm. that this is something he felt he needed to do.
Right. Now, Michelle starts establishing a relationship with Conrad's family. Mm-hmm. And is texting them and comforting them and kind of being there for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Through this time, which I found interesting.
Well, it to me, it mimicked like an arson. Mm-hmm. They start right. the fire, but then they are usually in the crowd watching it burn.
Right, yes.
Knowing what they've done.
Right. And she starts telling people that she couldn't save her boyfriend from suicide, mm-hmm. but that she would like to help other people. And I was like, I didn't know y'all boyfriend and girlfriend. And other people right. didn't know that either. Even Conrad's family were like, he didn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah. He never mentioned her as girlfriend.
He never, mm-hmm. you know, put that label on, if you'll say, as being his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting, too, was Michelle continued to text Conrad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though we know he's
deceased.
Passed. Yeah.
She's still texting. Okay. So the police, they get a hold of Conrad's phone because he's committed suicide, and they're just trying to get information. Mm-hmm. The family's starting to get suspicious of Michelle. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so what the police find on there are all the text messages between Conrad and Michelle.
Thousands. We're not talking
yes.
five or six.
Yes.
Thousands.
And one on July 2nd kind of stood out when she says to him, you should just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the police are kind of like,
Yeah. And it kind of opens the case of like,
yes.
Why has he done what he's done?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, Conrad had even tried to commit suicide once before. And it seemed like Michelle got mad at him for it. She kept saying, you say you're going to do it, but you never do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, when are you going to commit suicide? You'll be okay. You'll be an angel in heaven. You'll make a wonderful angel in heaven.
Right.
So, you know,
glamorizing it almost.
Right. Because we start out at the beginning of the relationship and we see her supporting him, saying, mm-hmm. don't kill yourself. You have so much to live for. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. But then the tide kind of turns after a couple of years.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, are you going to do it or not? Like, you say you're going to do it, but you never do. I'm right. kind of over this. Just do it. That was kind of like her mantra.
Almost like shaming him into doing it.
Yes.
Like, oh, if you were a real, you know, if you were for real mm-hmm. about it, you would have already done it. And you're and kind of belittling him. Somebody who already, you know, is going through a rough time and doesn't feel good about themselves. And I hope it's okay to bring this up at this point. But
sure.
That Conrad was on Celexa. Mm-hmm. And Celexa is a pretty well-known, I think Citalopram is also another name for it. It's mm-hmm. been out on the market for years and years. It is for depression. But it does come with a warning, and on the, like, a box warning, if you will, that it does cause suicidal thoughts for patients 24 and under. Mm-hmm. And now, why you say, why 24 and under? Well, the brain is not, no matter what people think, especially teenagers, mm-hmm. your brain is not fully developed until age 25. Your executive decision-making skills are not fully developed until you're about 25. So you have to be careful with medications because they're more susceptible to that ideation because the chemicals, the hormones, everything, the brain's still growing and the brain's still maturing, that's why they're more susceptible. So, I mean, he already has depression. He already has a history of trying it before. And now he's on medication that causes this.
Right.
And then now you got Michelle going, hey, you've been talking about it. When are you going to do it?
Encouraging
him,
yeah.
I mean, it was just compounding it. And so when I saw that, I was like, let me look a bit more into that medication. Because, unfortunately, medications to help with a mental disorder can sometimes
make it worse.
Which is unfortunate.
And even in the text messages, she even gave him ideas of how to kill himself. Like, you can hang yourself. You can, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, the carbon monoxide, that was something she came up with.
Yeah. I was just like, girl, why? Why?
Like, that's he had tried once before the gas power and the power pump or something, and it didn't work or it wasn't working. She said, just go to Sears.
Oh, and like, just
they
go
can
get
help
another
you.
One.
Just go to Sears. Yeah, yeah, just go get another one.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was
she definitely,
well, she was not helpful. And that's where I don't understand what changed.
Flip.
What changed from being helpful, concerned, comforting, caring to. Yeah, I'm just going to belittle you and double dog dare you to do this.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Did she find it funny? Was it fun because she didn't think he'd really do it? Or
maybe, yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, you and I, when we were in high school, there was a classmate who decided to take his life unexpectedly. And
yes.
And that still... I will carry that feeling and the shock and everything to this, you know, I still feel it when I think about it. But most people who commit suicide usually do not tell other people that they're going to do it. There's warning signs. They give away their possessions. They start, you know, being overly verbal with their care, like, I just love you so much, I just want you to know how much you've helped me. Like, they start talking in past tense already, and it's like, what are you know, like, there's those types of signs. It's not going to be, hey, I'm going to go do this. And so I don't know if she was banking on that. I'm not saying all cases they don't talk about it, but most do not. It's usually they've decided and they don't tell people because they don't want to be talked out of it.
Yeah, they've made up their mind.
He wanted to be talked out of it. And his one source, his one rock that always helped talk him out of it is now telling him, no, go ahead, do it. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the police show up at Michelle's school because they got some questions for her.
Oh, yeah.
And so she says that she didn't think anything of it when the phone hung up. Now, that was interesting because I know. And Michelle admits to a friend that she's responsible for Conrad's death and that Conrad got out of the truck and she tells him to get back in.
That disturbed me probably the most because he to me, that shows that he wanted to live. He did not.
Yes, I think he did. Yes.
But because she had such, her words had such power over him, he literally walked back in and closed the door to his death.
Yeah.
Because I think had she been like, I can't believe you did that. Get away from your truck. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Stop it now. But instead, she said, get back in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
golly.
and she even tells friends, you know, it's my fault that he died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the police start reading all these text messages, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go to jail. His family's going to be, my family's going to be devastated. His family's going to be devastated. Like, it's not going to end well.
Right.
So, I mean, she knew. So, what we find out, of course, is through text messages, is that he went to the Kmart parking lot with the gas-powered pump and started running it and the guy out of the truck called her and said, look, I just don't think I can do this. I just don't think I can. And she goes, no, get back in that truck and suck it up, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, so he gets back in. Yeah.
Like, just do it. And yeah. then he gets back in. And
yeah.
so he's already been exposed. So there's already, yeah. you know, shutdown mm-hmm. happening that he probably doesn't realize. Gets right. out of the truck and is like, I can't do this. She's like, no, get back in. So it probably did mm-hmm. not take. And carbon monoxide poisoning, it is a silent killer for those who, yeah. you know, don't. It's a gas leak, and it actually just shuts your body down. It deprives yourself yeah. of oxygen, and you have to have oxygen to live
correct.
For your body
yes.
to function properly. So, mm-hmm. you know, it sure. I still can't get over the fact that she told him to get back in. He obviously did not mm-hmm. want to do it, and she told him,
right.
no, you get back in. So there were mm-hmm. some text messages that were
yes.
brought up. Prosecutors, you know, their whole case was built on that Michelle did play a significant role in his suicide. In one conversation, she consoled Conrad, said that his family would come to accept the suicide, and then later adding, hey, tonight's the night, it's now or never. So she kind of gave him an ultimatum
right.
on his own suicide. So here's some excerpts from the text messages. Michelle said, I think your parents know you're in a really bad place. I'm not saying they want you to do it, but I honestly feel like they can accept it. They know there's nothing they can do. They've tried helping. Everyone's tried. But there's a point that comes where there isn't anything anyone can do to save you, not even yourself. And you've hit that point. And I think your parents know you've hit that point. You said your mom saw a suicide thing on your computer and she didn't say anything. I think she knows it's on your mind and she's prepared for it. Everyone will be sad for a while, but they'll get over it and move on. They won't be in depression. I won't let that happen. They know how sad you are, and they know that you are doing this to be happy. And I think they'll understand and accept that, or accept it. They will always carry you in their hearts. To which Conrad replied back, "Oh, thank you, Michelle." There's so many
wow.
things in this text. She's
wow.
giving him, she said, you know, everyone's tried, but there's a point where you can't do anything to save, that we can't do anything to save you, not even yourself. And you've hit that point. She's telling him, hey, you've
right.
hit that point, dude, time to go. Are you
yeah.
serious?
Yeah.
And then, but then his response back is just as chilling. Oh, thank you, Michelle. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, and then she continues on. She says, they'll move on for you because they know that's what you would have wanted. They know you wouldn't want them to be sad and depressed and angry and guilty. They know you want them to live their lives and be happy. So they will for you. You're right. Mm-hmm. You need to stop thinking about this and just do it because your overturning always kills overthinking. I think she probably meant to, you're just overthinking what to do. And he said, Conrad said, yeah, it does. I've been thinking about it for too long. Michelle says, always smile. And yeah, you just have to do it. You have everything you need. There's no way you can fail. Tonight's the night. It's now or never. I just, how twisted do you
yeah.
have to be that you know this person has tried before? You know this person is probably more serious than a lot of other people who say they want to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you choose to handle the situation. Yeah, just do it. They'll be fine. You've hit that point. They'll carry on. Don't worry. I'll make sure they're not sad. So she's trying to give him comfort.
Right.
Say, no, just go on. I got this. You go ahead.
Right.
Don't worry. Don't worry about what they think or feel. So she's telling mm-hmm. him, essentially, your life amounts to nothing. Nobody's mm-hmm. going to care. We're all going to go on without you. No bother.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And in court, what I found interesting, so 6 months after his death, she's indicted for involuntary
mm-hmm.
manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
She faces 20 years in prison. She opts for a judge trial versus a jury's trial.
Yes.
And, you know, it's I can kind of see it both ways.
Yeah.
I think maybe in her mind, she thought cooler heads prevail, right? This
sure.
is a judge. One person we have to convince
mm-hmm.
versus 12 people we have to convince.
Right. Yes.
Of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why she opted for judge, which I was surprised.
Right. I think it's because she knew peers would absolutely blame her. I think thought, oh, you can't get me in trouble for texts I send and then what those people decide to do with their actions. I think she was hoping, she was she was trying to say, oh, the law says I can tell people whatever I want to. Their actions are not my problem. That's what I think. And as right. where peers would have been like, how dare you say these, you know, say these things.
So, right. Yeah, definitely.
I'm like you. I see why, but come on. Again, what's Erica's favorite word? Accountability. You cannot just go around telling people stuff or texting people stuff and not have some responsibility in that. Come on.
Yeah. Now, the prosecutor, their idea of all of this, of why she did it, was that she was looking for attention. She was trying to make friends because, as we know, she was saying, oh, my boyfriend committed suicide. There was a young girl by the name of Samantha that she was friends with, and she was texting Samantha saying, oh, my boyfriend killed himself. And it's just like, okay. And she was sharing information with Samantha. So the prosecution feels like she was just doing this for attention. You know, my boyfriend killed himself. Everybody pay attention to me. Because they even said, if you look at the text messages, when he committed suicide, it wasn't, oh my gosh, Conrad, that's horrible. It's, well, what am I going to do? My boyfriend killed himself. Help me. Feel sorry for me. Not poor Conrad and his family.
You're right. Kind of like Munchausen's disease, where parent says, oh, my child has this, and they don't because the parent wants attention.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's not that, but kind of like that, where you're sacrificing someone else for
your benefit.
Sympathy. Right, yeah.
Right, right. And that's what the prosecution is. That is their reasoning as to why she encouraged Conrad to kill himself. Now, her defense team comes out, and they say, no, Michelle had a change in her medication. And they think that is what caused her to break. And also that Conrad wore her down. After 2 years of constantly talking about wanting to kill himself and how to do it, Michelle just got worn down.
Okay, couple of things here.
Yeah.
First of all, okay, if you felt it was a medication change, fine. Usually with medications like that, though, they're given to you under direct supervision of a medical provider, a medical expert. Right. So there should have been a check-in with, how do you feel? Have you noticed any changes? You know, to see what was going on. Second, where are the parents in all of this? Where are the guardians in all of this? Let me go ahead and, no, I do not have children. So I understand. I can say things because I'm on the outside looking in. So.
Sure.
I don't need to be reminded of that. But parents, just because your children have a cell phone, I'm 100%, 99.9% certain that child is not paying for their cell phone. You are.
Right.
You have every right to go into that cell phone and look at text messages, look at pictures, look at their social medias. Stay in the know, because I feel like both sets of parents or both sets of guardians. I don't know everybody's situation.
Right.
They could have intervened instead of letting these two children feed off of each other and end in the suicide of one and now a manslaughter conviction in the other. Because why was all of this being said and sent? I found nothing from either parent saying, oh, well, I saw that. And I was like, so, okay, so Conrad's mom, according to Michelle, saw that he looked up something about suicide on the computer and the mom didn't say anything.
Right.
Well, that's according to Conrad. Maybe the mom did and he said, oh, it's for a paper for school or something. But it still should trigger a response that says, wait, why are you looking this up? Hey, what's going on?
Right.
Check in with your kids. They deal with a lot. It's not like when we grew up and there wasn't internet and cell phones, which
thank goodness.
How I long for those days.
Right.
But
thankful for that.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, where was that? You know, where was if they're involved in a community or a church or something, you would think mm-hmm. another adult would be like, something's not right here. You know, I just, I wondered about that. I'm like, where were the parents, both sides, where were the guardians on both sides of this, that these kids are having these huge, long text messages and nothing's ever read.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and why didn't Michelle, when she realized this was becoming overwhelming, why she didn't turn to her mom, dad, minister,
right.
guidance counselor at school, something, and say, I have this friend, but, you know, Conrad said I'd be mad at you. Well, I'd rather Conrad be mad at me
and
be okay than be dead, you know.
Yeah.
So after 6 days of testimony, the judge comes back with his verdict on June the 16th of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said that Michelle, that she was not responsible for, it was not reasonable behavior
mm-hmm.
what she did, but right. that she was did not cause Conrad to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
But by telling him to get back in the truck,
yeah,
that's what makes her guilty.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what did it when she said
okay.
you need to get back in there
yeah.
and do it.
So it was not reasonable behavior to right. sit there and say, just do it. Why don't you do it? Blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't cause him to kill himself. But it was by her telling him, like you said, get back in the truck, telling him, get back in there and just do it.
Right.
That's what got her guilty.
Right. That's what the conviction. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So words can kill.
Absolutely. Words can kill when you're a kid or an adult. Mm-hmm.
Right. You remember that big billboard on the interstate that said words hit as hard as fist?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have carried that with me
mm-hmm.
ever since.
Yeah.
And it is so true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, with fists, you see the outward mm-hmm. damage that's
right.
done.
Mm-hmm.
With words, you don't.
Yeah.
Because it's done
right.
inside. And you can't see those scars and those bruises and that the psychological damage, you know. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm not. Both are terrible.
Right.
But,
they're horrible.
But
yeah.
But words carry a lot longer. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's all trauma. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. So she was sentenced to 15 months in jail
mm-hmm.
and 15 months probation. Now,
yep.
that was in 2017.
Yeah.
Now she's been free.
Mm-hmm.
out on appeals, and she was able to be home,
mm-hmm.
but she did end up going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
She served 11 months
yep.
of her 15 because, you know, good behavior.
Good behavior, yep.
And she was released on January the 23rd of 2020
so
from Dartmouth, Massachusetts. That's where she was. You know, Aaron Hernandez was there, too.
Oh,
you know,
he
the
was
football
at the same...
player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, he had served time there as well, so...
Huh.
Yes. So
wow.
she did serve 11 months of her 15.
Yep. Right. And then
and now
I think she's
out.
On probation. I think
yes.
I had
she's,
five
yes.
years probation.
Yeah, that's right. Now it's 5 years probation.
Yep.
Yes.
But yep. and then the thing too, you know, a kind of big picture question.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did. But did Michelle know right from wrong? I think she absolutely did. Because she
yeah.
had enough forethought to think, oh, I'll be the girlfriend that's left behind.
Yeah, the grieving girlfriend.
The grieving girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think I absolutely feel that she knew right from wrong. Because
oh, yeah.
how can you understand that part of it and manipulate
mm-hmm.
and say all these things, but then go, oh, I didn't know
right.
you do it. Oh, shut up. Yes, you
right.
did.
This is where we need to encourage children and adults to
mm-hmm.
speak up and say things.
Yes.
Instead of thinking you've got a handle on it or
oh, they're just
joking
or whatever
yeah, no.
bullcrap because no,
right.
you do not know people's intent.
right.
I've heard this and you know, this might be heartbreaking to some to hear. You are not a mind reader. You do not
right.
know what people will and will not do. Do not
right.
guess. It is not
right.
worth it. Again,
mm-hmm.
people would rather look into it and be like, you know what? There's nothing here. Than to
right.
not look into it. And then now you've lost friends, family, classmates, whatever, because you didn't say anything. I just, no.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I will always act on something if I really feel it's a danger to themselves or others, because I would rather be 100 times wrong than one
yeah.
time right and not do it. Not say anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yes.
I'm not going to get in trouble because, oh, Erica, you worried about public safety. Shame on you. You're going to jail. It does not happen that way.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I feel sorry for kids today because of technology, and it's so easy for someone to bully, pick on, manipulate.
Right.
Through these text messages and social media and all that that we didn't deal with.
Right.
And it's really sad.
Well, and it's sad too. And I get to work with teenagers sometimes through my work, and social media is always brought up, Baum. Yep. And I try to every time go, but please know your life is not determined by how many likes you get on a picture,
right,
on a tweet, on a Instagram, on Facebook, whatever socials you're on, Snapchat, you know, it's not. And I tell them that in hopes that they really believe it, because some of them, oh, well, I only got 200 likes on this, or I only have this many followers. Who cares? When you become an adult, please trust me.
Right. Yeah.
When you become an adult, you start seeing things for what they are. And your friends that you have in high school right now, more than likely, if you keep up with one or two, you've done well. But more than likely, you're going to lose touch with all of them.
Well, yeah, life happens.
And you can reconnect through social medias when you're in your 40s, and it's great. but
Right. Well, you don't have to be on social media.
You don't
have to accept text messages. You can block them.
You're right.
And just, you know, I mean, that's, you have that power to not invite it into your atmosphere.
Exactly. Yeah. And please, you know, and that's why I think it's good that we end on this episode, especially this time of year.
Yes.
Seek help. If you've got these, if you've got these ideas, please seek help. And if somebody comes to you and says these things, help them. Don't. Mm-hmm. That's a lot for somebody to come to and let them be vulnerable and show that vulnerability and say, hey, this is going on. Please take them seriously. Don't brush it off and go, oh, it's the holiday blues. You'll be fine. They're there.
Yeah. Oh, he said that before and didn't do anything. So he's not, you know.
Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly. Yeah. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, there is a song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
About this. I told Erica about this. The band is called, it's on YouTube, so you can give it a watch if you want to. It's called SKYND. I think that's Skinned.
I'm not sure,
but it's called Michelle Carter. And it is a song about the text messages that Michelle sent to Conrad.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'll, I'll have to head out to YouTube and give that a listen. I didn't know that was out there as well.
Me either. Yeah.
but again... Yep. I think with technology and laws that are being written, they need to include technology because this, again, was the a first of its kind case.
Yes.
You know, be uplifting, be supportive of others, because you really don't know what anybody's going through at any given time. And this is a case of that. I mean, but dadgum, you've got somebody who has struggled with it, who has tried it before the suicide, and then you've got somebody who struggles with their own depression, but then decides, hey, I think I want the attention. That sounds better than trying to help you out. I'm tired of being your support. And if you are, if you don't know how to support and you don't know how to do it, that's fine. Reach out to somebody else that does know. It doesn't have to end and begin with you. You can say, hey, I can't help you with that, but I know, but let me reach out to this person for you. Just be the liaison. You don't. I don't ever know what to say, but I can help.
Neither.
I can find somebody that knows who can.
Right. Exactly.
Be an advocate. So.
Right.
All right. So that's a good one to end with for the year.
Yes.
So, clapperboard. That's
yes.
the end of
that
Southern
wins it.
Onion of 2021. It ends our first year together. How exciting! Thank you so much. We've been through quite a few. So, again, we're looking for episodes to cover. And if you have one, no matter how obscure, you're like, you might not be interested, still reach out to us. Let us know through Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are opened. And, so, Aaron, well done.
Yes, you too.
It's been exciting. So we hope everybody has a great holiday season or just great time off, and take care of your mental health. Thank you again so much. We cannot thank you enough for everything this year. So happy holidays. I'm just going to say holidays because I'm encompassing everything. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, right. Christmas, everything. Yes. And then I hope you have a happy and safe new year. And we will see you back in 2022. Hooray!
Yes.
All right. Yay. And until next time, take care, stay safe, keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Until next time, bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. We'll be right back.